Should I give them Kane's private number?
I think so.
Should we give out? I could get, it's in my contacts here. I mean, I can roll that in. Okay, so 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Yeah, let me just add to the traffic report because y'all have been Johnny, or we should say in 2019, Johnny or Jill. Yeah. You've been Chris or Pat on the spot. Folks like Chris and Bama Sailor and others have been texting in about that wreck on the and Jim on the causeway. Mm-hmm. And I love this because it's the three places, if you want to locate, it's westbound on the causeway. And it's funny how different folks identify. Chris said it's near Traders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know I can picture that. Bama Sailor said it's near the Bluegill. Jim says it's near Bay Transmission. I know all three of them. So that zone, I understand the zone you're talking about. I would say, let's see, it would be, we could say it's west of the Blakely River,
mm-hmm.
right? It's east of the Appalachie. So
right.
there's the...
And for those looking at a map, at Mobile AL Traffic says it's just west of Five Rivers Boulevard.
You should put Five Rivers in there too. So it's in that zone, the Metroplex, and it would be on the north side of Mayor Park.
you could go all day on this.
How about that for? So we're zooming. We're on Google Earth Pro, and we're zooming in and zooming in, zooming in, and telling you where it is. All right, and we appreciate that. Seriously, when you've got a chance to hit us up on the text line, 343-0106, that's the same number you call in on, too. So if you get a chance, put that in your contacts, in your phone, say FM Talk 106.5. If you're not from around here, that's 251-343-0106. All right, it is a Tuesday, and we check in with Quinn Hillier, the man behind QuinnHillier.com, I think, and also the author of the Mad Jones trilogy. And you see his work in the Washington Examiner and elsewhere out there. Quinn, good morning.
Good morning. Let me put in a commercial. Speaking of Mad Jones Heretic and Mad Jones Hero, my trilogy, I have a book event and signing. If for whatever reason you go into New Orleans tonight, 6 o'clock at Octavia Books, and I'll do a reading and an explanation and a book signing for my trilogy. So go to New Orleans, everybody, tonight just for that.
Does that mean that you're going to rest the voice after your hit on Here With Us? You're going to drink some tea and really rest the voice before your reading tonight?
Definitely.
Question, because I've never been to one of your book readings before. Do you do voices for the different characters?
I wish I could. I'm not that talented.
I tell you what, it makes it. I mean, if you have somebody reading a book, and let me just one side note, because we have so much to get into, Quinn, but I had many fantastic teachers in high school, but my senior English teacher, trained thespian, when you know, you'd sit there and read Shakespeare and be just kind of like, go, what is, and then he would do five or six voices in Hamlet reading it.
Oh,
I was like, I get this. I get this now. I understand. So it does help to simpletons like me.
Absolutely.
All right. Quinn, let's go through a couple things here. First of all, imagine that the idea of a toll for the proposed I-10 Mobile River Bridge, Wallace Tunnel, Bayway Elevated Extended Roadway Project, I think I put everything in there, has caused much discussion, and now it's even moved into the point where politicians that have not been in this organically are jumping on. I mean, we heard last week, I got an email from Roy Moore's campaign and Tommy Tuberville. They're now, yeah, we're against the toll too. This has become the cause celeb, at least in the political ranks.
Well, it has, it's really the kind of thing where we shouldn't even be talking about this. I'm actually supportive of tolls for local and state roads. That way the user pays for it. But the interstate highway system is different. It was designed to be different.
Okay.
And that is a collective national transportation tax to pay for collective needs moving from state to state, and it should be based on need and priority. And this has been acknowledged by the Department of Transportation to be a priority for 25 years. And so we should not have a toll on it. We shouldn't be talking about a toll on it. But more than that, it's almost unbelievable that we have the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, Richard Shelby, from Alabama, and he can't figure out a way to wrestle more money than we have gotten for it. And I could go into chapter and verse about all the different things that he could do using his power as chairman of the Appropriations Committee to get creative, to help get us the money. And I haven't seen anything until he tried to claim credit for this grant that came yesterday that he had nothing to do with.
Right, this was the Infra Grant, and you and I talked about this during the news break, and that's why I went on Twitter. I said, you know, sorry to spoil everybody's parade, but this was the 7%. We had that has kind of been cooked in, although it wasn't a sure thing, but it was actually a way bigger piece of money. And I'm not, somebody's going to say $125 million, it is real money. But that was his, within the last year and a half, that was as high, I think, as 200 and something million available. And then we end up with $125 million, but it's already cooked in. And that was announced yesterday like it was some new money for the project, which, like you said, Gwen, it is not.
It is not new money, and by my count, it's 6.25% of the of the $2 billion price tag.
6.257. You know, I was in the communications department. They didn't let me in the math building. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean that's pitiful. Again, you have done a good job pointing out that when this first was seriously discussed 25 years ago, Alabama was only supposed to put up, I think it was 7% of the money.
It was 80-20 for a while.
It was 80-20. It was 80-20, and now we're down to 7 to 93.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's unbelievable. And again, we have the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, the most powerful spender on Capitol Hill from our state. And as far as I can tell, he's not lifted a finger. And the word is, oh, well, that's because he's working so hard on getting the money for the port deepening. I haven't seen that actually come through as an absolute guarantee yet either.
Neither have I.
So you know, what the heck is he doing? But look, this is the single major choke point for the most important hurricane evacuation route for the Central Gulf Coast. If you do not want more scenes like New Orleans and Katrina, you need to have something other than the tunnels under the Mobile River. And that alone should open it up. If you get creative, and there are ways to do it, open it up for funding not just from the Department of Transportation, but from the Department of Homeland Security as well. Because it is Homeland Security handles hurricane relief, evacuation, protection, that sort of thing. So you can do it from there. Of course, the state should be doing more with it. The North Alabama legislators have raided the GOMESA fund, which should be for South Alabama. The governor's office needs to get involved. But any way you look at it, we are being underfunded for a project that the U.S. Department of Transportation agreed was a priority a full quarter century ago.
Quinn, if you had to guess, why don't you think this is a bigger priority for Senator Shelby and the other senator in the state, even though he doesn't have the power that Richard Shelby has? Has he been making any noise about this toll, Senator Jones?
I have not heard a single word from Senator Jones on this. Maybe I've missed it.
You have. He's given it lip service. I'm not saying he's done anything, but he's been on my show and said that he was working on it. And I saw some press releases, but, you know, I have not seen... the fruits of that yet, but he has given it lip service.
Well, Jones is pretty powerless anyway, both as a freshman, as a member of the minority party, and as a genuinely ineffective guy anyway.
A caretaker for the second seat from Alabama.
Exactly. But again, look, I used to work for the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee. I keep bringing that up. I was on the staff of the Appropriations Committee. I know how appropriations work. I was there, and I know that there are ways that the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee can push to come up with money. Again, I could give you chapter and verse. And, you know, I could go through stuff that would take 10 or 15 minutes that we don't have, but there are ways to do it. Why hasn't he? I think North Alabama just doesn't really care that much about coastal Alabama, even though we are the moneymaker for the state.
I agree with you, but I would argue that Senator Shelby, not just because of the dictate of the job, being the senator for the entire state, has seemed to have a soft spot for the port, for sure. He realizes what it means for the state of Alabama in business. And so he has over time. I mean, look at University of South Alabama. He's get money. He has run. It's not like he completely ignores South Alabama. And so in this case, it does leave me scratching my head. And you, from an inside position there, knowing how the cookie crumbles inside the Senate, is this a vote of no confidence? Is it that he is not doing something, or he does not have the power that me back home thinks he has as head of appropriations?
He does. No, he does not have the power that the head of appropriations would have had 30 years ago before there were things like earmark bans and stuff like that. But let me point this out. Just yesterday, the president and Nancy Pelosi reached agreement on another huge budget-busting budget agreement. $320 billion of additional money over just the next 2 years in discretionary spending alone.
We keep raising the ceiling.
You cannot find, as chairman of the Appropriations Committee, $2 billion over the next 6 years.
Right.
When you've got $320 billion nationwide extra on top of exorbitant spending already, then you're just not doing your job.
It leaves me scratching my head because this was, if you had to pick a color to paint, paint Senator Shelby. He's sorry, Matt. They don't talk to me, so I'm just going to say it. If you had to pick a paint to paint him with, it would be the bacon color is what you would paint him. I mean, he's kind of known with this, synonymous with this, with pork. This is the
The Richard Shelby Bridge.
I've said
and
that
he would automatically
3 years ago.
Get involved.
I said it 3 years ago and offered it. Nobody listened. I said
that's what we need to do. He names every university building in the state after himself, and the money comes. Just name the bridge, or maybe name it the Richard Shelby Bayway, and bingo, you'll get it done.
I suggested it 3 years ago. I don't think there's anybody who would push back against that. If there was, if it was the Richard Shelby is your king bridge and Bayway project, everybody would sign off on it. If he could come up with the money, it's the Richard Shelby is the greatest, best ever bridge. People say, okay, all right, if you got the money for it, that's fine. I always have said this over the last few months. I feel like I'm missing something. There's something I'm not getting.
For some reason, if there's no big business interest behind it like there is behind the port, that can also fill up Shelby's campaign coffers for a race that he probably won't even run for re-election, and that he doesn't need the money anyway. If it's not something that grabs him in a financial, I'm not saying his own pockets, but that grabs him in a financial way or big business way or naming something after him. I don't know. He doesn't seem to be interested, which is one reason why people should have paid more attention to Jonathan McConnell running against him last time, by the way. Young guy from down here who Shelby ran a nasty campaign against, literally full of lies. I don't know. Maybe we need a South Alabamian in the Senate.
Oh, sure we do, if we can get that done. I want that, but I just have been beaten down by the reality. Hey, can you hold on during the news break?
Okay, sure.
All right, because I want to come back. I want to talk about the raising of the debt ceiling, number one, and also the crimes of racism. Something Dalton and I have noticed now, it's not even a question of whether the tweet from President Trump is racist. It's reported now, the racist tweet.
Headlines all over America, the racist tweets.
Not tweet that people are saying it's the racist tweet. We'll get Quinn's take on that as well. Right, 825 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Let me add one more to our discussion of the accident westbound at the causeway that was centered in between Traders, Bluegill, Bay Transmission, and now unnamed texter, maybe laugh out loud, Drifters on the causeway. Drifters, which is a structure that looks like, no offense, meant, but it's since I was a kid, Drifters looked like it was going to fall over.
Mm-hmm.
Every storm comes through, big hurricanes, small hurricanes, but Drifters is still there. It's now because Drifters is about 56 feet in the air to get up to Drifters there, but everything else washed away. Drifters is trucking along.
Does the opposite of its namesake.
That's right.
Just stays right there.
Stayers. looking at the text line here, too. Taxman brings this up, and he says, hey, Alaska Bridge to Nowhere. Hey, quit. What was it? Was Senator Stevens, wasn't it, that got that done?
Yeah, and Senator Stevens was, guess what? He was chairman of the Senate Appropriations
Committee. Right. So, I mean, if he could get a bridge to nowhere done, how about a bridge to somewhere?
I've got to say, they did not have an earmark ban then. So it was easier then than it is now, but that doesn't mean that it's not doable now.
And you pointed out that this right now, this discussion we're having, and that's good. The earmark ban, I mean, this is what this show is about, is actually putting in the extra information that makes everything not so, you know, so easy and getting it factual. But you do paint this on the backdrop of something you know causes me agita here, that they raise the debt ceiling again here. It's whatever party it's who's in Washington, they're all going to raise the debt ceiling. So you say, hey, while you're doing that, how about you slip in a little extra funding here?
No, exactly. I mean, again, there are ways to do it. The point is that because you have something that affects the entire Central Gulf Coast, from Louisiana through Florida, you should be able to build a coalition with lawmakers from Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida, which is a fairly sizable block, and you should be able to say this is desperately needed, this is to avoid mass tragedy, this is to avoid people getting drowned in their homes, and it will help avoid massive cleanup costs afterwards. And so, I don't get it. I mean, Shelby, I think, is asleep at the switch, but I've said that before.
Coyne, this budget agreement that Pelosi and Trump agreed to yesterday, you know, it's infuriating in a number of ways, but to see the numbers, and they say $1.37 trillion will be spent by agencies next year, $1.37 trillion in agency spending, and we're looking at this bridge down here, $6 a trip for citizens down here and everybody that takes the bridge, but I mean, $1.37 trillion, can't they just add a little bit on that? The news from yesterday just kind of makes this whole bridge thing a little bit more infuriating.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This new budget deal, they don't have to add to the budget deal. What I'm saying is there's money in the budget deal that is going to the Transportation Department and going to Homeland Security Department, vastly above the current already exorbitant levels of spending. And there's no reason why the chairman of the Appropriations Committee shouldn't be able to get a little of that. And look, what you do is you go to the authorizing committees and you have the authorizers specifically authorize it. That almost automatically takes it out of earmarked status if it's something already authorized. Or you go to the president and you have the president included in his budget request, because most rules against earmarks exclude things specifically included in the president's budget. So, bingo, there you are. Well, you can do it.
All right, Quinn, we have just 1 minute left here.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, no, we're up against... But just a quick, your assessment on the president's tweet that's now being reported, not that people say is racist, the news agencies say, the president's racist tweet.
I have had a long-running argument with the head of the CNN political bureau, who is my friend, head of national CNN politics, and saying, you guys are doing bad journalism. Whether you think it's racist or not, to label it racist is absurd. And my former colleague, Keith Woods, from the Times-Picayune Sports Department, who now is head of diversity training at NPR, he's a big liberal. He sent out he did a column and sent out a note to all the NPR people saying, we might think it's racist, I think it's racist, but ditch the label. You don't have to browbeat people telling it that it's racist, because that is an opinion that's not dispassionate, objective journalism. That's bad journalism. And not only that, I would argue that it is nativist, It's obnoxious, but it's not racist, and I have explained that in columns, so I urge you to go read my columns and my tweets.
All right, very good. You can go to quinnhilliard.com, and if they want to pick up the trilogy, they could do that on Amazon, but you said tonight a book signing and reading in New Orleans?
At Octavia Books at 6 o'clock. But if you can't get there, please go on Amazon. We say this every week. These are fun books. These are novels. They're satire. They're funny. You'll enjoy them.
Thanks, Quinn.
Thanks.
.8 35 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's talk with Mitch McConnell from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. Good morning, buddy.
So, great deals on trucks right now at McConnell Automotive, the new line of GMC trucks. Tell me about the kind of savings I can get at McConnell Automotive.
Well, Dalton, we hope that we give the best prices we think on the Gulf Coast, but one of the things you know we always talk about is how we arrive at those prices, and people that have shopped that have been frustrated, maybe even really, really hated the experience shopping because they had to go back and forth with a salesman or sales manager. You know, our deals every day are a lot more straightforward than most car dealers. And my favorite example, Dalton, we've been talking about for a few days, is 20% off the new Sierra. And we're talking about the one that everybody's after. And so every 1% off a truck like that, Dalton, is about another $500. And the biggest discount we've ever seen on this new Sierra, Dalton, is 16%. Well, right now we got 20. So it's easy math. If people go to our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, they'll see the deals. And Dalton, the other thing besides 20% off the regular Sierra, we have supplier price. And if you don't know what that is, Dalton, it's literally like a GM employee buys vehicles for. And so the AT4 is the lifted version with the red tow hooks and all the cool stuff on it. And that's the one that people are just knocking the doors down for. So if you're in the market for a truck, you're about to buy a Ford, maybe the new Ram, those are beautiful trucks, but we kind of think our truck might have some advantages in the six function tailgates. One of them, nobody else has got it. And they sing that na 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 song because nobody else has got it. And we just really are so appreciative of our customers and of our relationship with you guys at the station, Dalton, because people are really coming in and checking these trucks out. We hope they do it. And the website, like we always talk about, McConnellAutomotive.com, easiest place to get those deals checked out.
Man, those AT4s are hot right now, and you can't beat supplier pricing. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a great day.
Y'all have a great one, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go to the website, McConnellAutomotive.com, or go see him in person on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Right. We get to phone calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, the same on the text line. You can get through to us on the text line at the same number. And I will read some of those. But I want to go to, and not specific Facebook posts this morning, but just in general. I think it's worth doing here to kind of, once again, when I do this stuff, I do this to make sure this is not pro-toll. I do this to make sure you have the full story,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's, and I know that's lost in social media because people just grab one part of it, or, you know what, you may not know these facts, okay? And that's fine. I have to know them because this is what I do, but y'all are great at what you do, so this is my job. So when I offer this, I'm not offering this in any other way than just making sure, it doesn't mean to change opinion. I don't think it should change opinion because I'm against the toll, and I know all these things. I just want to make sure when you're discussing it with people, you understand the nuance of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, because I see a couple of people in their responses. We put the story up about the interview we did yesterday with State Senator Chris Elliott, and Jeff Poore wrote for Yellowhammer. That story's up there. And people are saying, this post is, so let me get this right, I'll pay $90 a month to cross the KIV bridge. Now, come on. How about Senator Shelby Bridge, and then turn around and claim it on my taxes to get my money back? Would it save everyone involved time and money just not to charge me? Or another one here, how about skipping the overhead and just not charging a toll to Alabama license plates? I guess that would be too easy. Okay, this is what I'm talking about. So the federal, even though $125 million that was announced yesterday, which has been factored in the whole time. That's the 7%, y'all. That was not new money or additional money. That, I guess, not additional money. That is the federal, that's it. That's what the federal portion is. But the feds still have, if you do anything to an interstate, you have to comply with the Federal Highway Administration. Okay, you have to. I don't like it either, but it is the dang, be a grown up for a second, that's the rule.
Mm-hmm.
And in that rule, you are not allowed to give discounts or no tolls to people based on geography. I mean, I think it stinks too. But the federal code is what is hamstringing this on the fact that they can't just say no tolls for Mobile and Baldwin County people, because because it's a federal interstate. Connected to the federal interstate is the federal interstate. So you can't do that. So what Senator Chris Elliott was proposing, first of all, he said he's against the tolls, but his idea for a plan B is if it does go through, what you would do, because, I mean, how many things have you seen that you thought couldn't go through have gone through?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And this is your parachute. This is a safety mechanism. Safety mechanism would be that you would be able to line item deduct 100% of the money you pay in tolls off your state taxes. You say, oh, Sean, what if I don't have that big a tax liability? Then, according to this SB 3 and SB 4, two Senate bills that are pre-filed, one to get the money out of Gomesa to fund this operation, which is a Gulf of Mexico emergency strategic, whatever.
Well done.
Yeah, something like that. Get the oil and gas revenue money to use to defray this. But you would be able to deduct this at 100%, and if it was over your tax liability, you would get a check mm-hmm. from the state for that amount. That is not a perfect world. No, the perfect world is no tolls. Build the bridge, build the extended and elevated bayway, do that and have it paid for with money we've already paid in or we've borrowed from China, to do it from a federal perspective. But right now, as it sits, the situation as it stands, if that goes through, what would be a mechanism to be able to do better here? And that's why you would have this. It does. It's like a three-card Monty. It's a little cockamamie. I get it. But we have to work around this Federal Highway Administration rule that does not let you give discounts or no tolls based on geography. It's only on frequency of use that you can give discount. So what? And that would only give you a discount. This would give you effectively no toll. Mm-hmm. Now, it is a end-around way to do it, but that's the only way, as I see right now, if this would pass and we would have a $6 toll, that the net impact on businesses, and individuals would be zero.
You know, Senator Elliott's workaround is really interesting and something I haven't seen anyone brought up, and I appreciate that he's out there looking at other options, trying to figure out other ways around it, rather than just making it a black and white no-toll or toll issue, which so many people are looking at the story. Even people from right here in our area are looking at the story as black or white, like toll or no toll. We don't want to pay any toll, and we want, you know, we want the bridge, but we don't want to pay a toll. But the depth of this particular issue, there's been so many twists and turns mm-hmm. already in how much money are we getting, how much is the federal government putting in, how much is the toll going to be, that it's not like one of these issues that you see come out of Washington or New York where it's a black and white issue. Oh, Trump said this, Pelosi said this, now mm-hmm. pick sides. This is something where if you want to have an educated opinion on it, you have to look into the story. But I'm still seeing so many people just, you know, label politicians right. and others that are in this discussion and just label them as good or bad when it's a little deeper than that.
Yeah, and most are gray, I would say. And you could, okay, listen, I'll play devil's advocate for a second and say having any plan other than no tolls gives comfort to the enemy. I don't think that gives comfort to the other side to be able to push on tolls. Okay? Doing that gives them some handle. Okay, so don't do this. Don't offer alternatives. Don't be public about the alternatives, because all that does is encourage the toll people. I see that, and that could be a great debate and a well-made argument. But to say that, well, just make it so I can travel without getting a toll on the people. We can't do that because of the federal law.
Right.
I mean, if I could sit on here and just, you know, make everything overly simplistic and inaccurate and blend in with a lot of the people on talk radio, but I can't do that.
You know,
I'm still anti-toll. I'm just pointing out that if it was passed, if we got another thing shoved down our throats here. This is a way to not have to pay it, or, you know, to be brought back, to be compensated back to zero, that no net effect, you know, year to year on the toll. It stinks. It's not good. And you got to file the thing and do the thing. I get it. But all the things we've talked about, how this toll would affect individual families, but how about businesses? Mm-hmm. Small businesses that decide they're passing on this cost to consumers. They may not do their business in one county. They may base in one county and not go work in the other county. Those things are real. Those things have ramifications in an economy. And so if this goes through and there's no plan other than, then we're screwed, y'all. But so I'm going to keep fighting the toll 100%, but I am going to point out when there's an idea out there that says, hey, here's a possible workaround. Do you want to disagree with some tenets of it and tweak and those kind of things? That's fine. But just saying that this is, you don't need this law because they should just make it so local folks don't pay the tolls. You can't. You can't. Go take it up with the feds. You can't.
You know, this is a great great spotlight on something where we talk about national news all day, every day, and what's going on around the rest of the country, because the topics are usually just so, you know, divisive and everybody picks sides. But this is something that will directly affect pockets of people here locally. I mean, day in and day out, lots of money will be spent on this one way or the other. And it just shows the importance of your local stories and what's going on here locally, yep, rather than being so focused on Washington all the time. Now, what's going on in Washington is very important, mm-hmm, for the nation, but, you know, we're not paying a $6 toll in Washington. This is money coming out of our pockets down here, and that's why it's so important that we get the facts right on things like this. And instead of just going out and labeling people in each group, do a little bit of research and see what they're actually trying to say.
There we go. We'll grab some calls when we get back and read through some of these texts at 343-0106. You can hop on now, 343-0106. It's Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Kane, 852, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. A segment of the show brought to you by Lightstream. Are you tired of credit card bills with high interest rates? Duh. Yeah, of course you are. If you're ready to pay off your credit card balances and start saving money, then you need to check out the folks at Lightstream. Right now, you can get a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream with rates as low as 5.95% APR with autopay. That's lower than the average credit card interest rate that's over 19% APR. You also get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are no fees, like no application fees, no origination fees, no transaction fees, no prepayment penalties, and the rate is fixed, so it's never going to go up over the life of the loan. You can even get your money in your bank account as soon as the day you apply. Do it online. You can also apply right from your phone. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. And y'all, you can get a special interest rate discount on top of the already great low rates. Here's how you do it. Go to lightstream.com/Sullivan. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan. Their website, lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name, SULLIV as in victory, AN. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, to the phones we go. And Susan in Fairhope, first up. Hey, Susan.
Good morning.
Morning.
I've not heard this discussed a lot, and I will go ahead and say up front, I would like to see this done without a toll. I am not a supporter of the toll. But just take an average individual citizen of Mobile or Baldwin County, lower income, let's say they work for $12 an hour.
Okay.
And three times in a month, they are an hour delayed because of the backup on the bay. Only three times, which is a pretty low estimate. That's $36 of income they've missed, plus the chance of losing their job. I've heard business owners say, well, you know, I send trucks back and forth across the bay to do air conditioning repair.
Mm-hmm.
If your technician, who is making $20 an hour, and you're charging your customer however much an hour, if they're delayed however many hours a month, I just don't think people are taking into account the economic impact of not doing something.
Right. And here's the problem with that, though. Okay, so that is macro versus micro. And Susan, and a lot of tenets of what you said, I agree with you. But I'm also, like, I stick to it like I have been since the beginning. You can toll the bridge, you can't toll the tunnel, in my opinion. But that's what they're going to do. At least they want to do. The problem is, if you're trying to sell this politically or on some other talk show, it's a lot easier to focus on micro, right? Because micro is what it means in individual dollars out of the wallet. And you pointed out,
yeah,
you're not getting the dollars in because you're missing an hour of your shift or whatever it is. Also increased costs for business, businesses choosing to come here or not come here based on traffic issues. All those things are absolutely valid and part of the discussion, but they're macro and they don't affect people the same way as the $6 coming out of their wallet each time they cross the Bayway. And you'll never win that battle politically. You'll never win it.
Not politically, no. Absolutely not. But I've just heard so many people say, if there's going to be a toll, just don't build it at all. And I'm like, okay, that is not reasonable.
Now, we need to build it and not toll it. I mean, that's what needs to happen. We've already paid the money, or we borrowed the money from China. We need to use those federal dollars and get this sucker built.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Xi Jinping Bridge?
Could we call it that? Oh,
is that,
man.
No, is that bad? Is that a horrible thing to say?
I mean, I would ride on it.
If we need to call it the Xi Jinping borrowed money bridge, as long as I'm not paying a toll, I'm in.
Where's Putin? Get him on the line.
They got some money, but they're probably sending all that to Iran right now. Derek's in Fairhope up next. Hey, Derek.
Modern problems require modern solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, I did not advocate this for anybody. Anna, let's go ahead and preface that. In England, whenever they start doing a toll to go downtown, somebody figured out if there was a special tape, non-photographic black tape,
mm-hmm,
that whenever you snap a picture, if you covered up certain numbers or certain portions of numbers, those didn't show up in the camera. And so I've watched several YouTube videos on it a long time ago. But there's a special tape out there that you can put on there that it will not, you can't take the picture of the numbers.
They said, and I've seen this before as well, and you know, you and I agree on this, that the marketplace will always find a way to avoid government.
My infomercial will be on Wednesday night at 12 a.m. You know, $19.99, free shipping and handling when you purchase two.
The family pack.
You know,
get the family pack and cover all the plates on all your cars and save money right now.
Yeah.
When you buy in bulk. Derek, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. Thank you for the call. The tape that I've seen is the best way I was describing this, and he may be talking about another kind. You know, when you get, and I'm going to pigeonhole myself here, because the only place I really go to a college football game, unless it's like a championship game or something, mm-hmm, I go to Bryant-Denny, and you get the hugely overpriced Coca-Cola cup. You know, it shows the stadium or whatever, but it has corrugation on it that as you turn it, mm-hmm, you're looking like the stadium, then you're looking at a player, then you're looking at the stadium. The idea was it would be a clear tape that had that from the where somebody right behind you at ground level, like an officer or something, would see your plate, but you get the pitch of a camera that the way that corrugation is, they would see nothing, but the person behind you at ground level would see something. That's my best way to describe the stuff I've seen.
Yeah, I've seen that with computer monitors also, mm-hmm, so only the person looking directly.
Right, if you're trying to peek in on, you know, what they're buying on Craigslist.
Yeah, if you work in Starbucks a lot. You know, I thought I'd have to get the James Bond license plate.
That was so cool on the Aston Martin. It just turns and turns. And
but tape seems much easier. Not that I would do that.
If I get the Aston Martin, though, drop top it and ride across. All right, Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. Talk to you all again at noon today for Midday Mobile.